Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Week in League, NRL Magic Round lives up to its name, ending the reign of Trent Barrett.
Manly misread the marketing and played like they thought it was Magic Mushroom Round.
Mick Potter takes out a short-term loan on garden furniture.
Plus, we look forward to all the action for Round 11 of the 2022 NRL season.
All that and more This Week in League. Welcome to episode 464 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How you going, fellas? Just had a little bit of voice crack. I just thought nearly hit puberty while we were doing the intro there. yeah, so how you going, fellas?
Great.
Is that like a throwback? Like the origins of the show? You and Glennie sitting around at 14?
Yes.
Like a fake origin story.
Yeah, good. Nate's fucking hit puberty. He might start to mature.
Surely you jest. That's never going to fucking happen.
Fucking nothing balls. Changing. Balls might drop.
Oh, they drop the King Kong fucking balls, bitch. Now, listen, we kind of went over the Magic Round business, so, you know, in the last episode. Are there any new particular news items that you want to talk about, fellas?
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. It was like all of an hour ago we started talking about it. One thing that's happened while we were recording the first episode, though, is that Bellamy is... what was that fucking... That must have been a Skype thing. Skype was making some noise at me.
No.
But Bellamy has committed to one more year with the Melbourne Storm. So he'll coach again in 2023 after, you know, some speculation and some thoughts that he was potentially going to pull the pin, at least at the Melbourne Storm, if not altogether.
It is interesting. The talk about him leaving has been on for 4 or 5 years now. You know, and
yeah, yeah,
and there's been that thing of
and it really felt like it was going to happen this time, didn't it?
Well, he's got grandkids and this, and was the Titans job he was up for recently? Was that the last one, or was it a Broncos job? Anyway, it was he'll come to Queensland.
The Broncos were trying to negotiate something, weren't they?
The grandkid lives up here, and who wouldn't want to live near their grandkids and coach footy or whatever it was? So. I'm almost starting to feel like after he finishes coaching, that'll be it for it. Whereas previously, I've thought it'd look like he'd migrate into a Gus type overseeing role. This almost feels like this will be his last one, and then he'll disappear for a little while, maybe come back in the future. But
yeah,
interesting. I've always picked him to fucking die in the coach's box. You know, like he's just that intense and clearly is so passionate about it. I thought, okay, maybe not in the coach's box, but as you say, in a Gus type role, or more impressively in a Tim Sheens type role.
The Storm are good, Glennie.
But, just to continue the legacy and the success that, and still be instrumental in having that, the influence and his impact on the club, which has been so important in this, era that they've experienced. So, he's got his detractors by way of his personality, but you can't deny what the man has brought to the table and the level of success that has come about in no small part due to him. So I guess he's free to do whatever the fuck he wants, but
he's quoted as saying, The quote says, I'm 63. I'll be 64 at the end of the year. I just don't want to be too old to be able to enjoy life a bit. I don't think I'm going to be a traveller. I have 4 grandkids now, and I love spending time with them. With this job, even with 3 of them living in Melbourne, I don't get to see them that much. Not having to get up every morning and be thinking about footy and handling the team today, trying to get over the disappointment or elation of the weekend, I was just looking for a different lifestyle. That to me says a guy that'll fuck gladly walk the fuck
just
away.
Just walk away, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, if he plays it smart, you know, we're all talking about how he would stick with a club. And fair enough, if the Melbourne Stormy are home, that's fine. You know, if you feel some sort of community or family there, that's more than a lot of people get out of their work life. More power to you. But from a purely, you know, capitalistic point of view, he would have clubs lining up to pay him hundreds of thousands of dollars, not to align with them and work with them, but for him to come in and do a review. You know, do a systems and processes review of their football department. Be like, well, you know, fucking hell, you have one guy who isn't a physiotherapist, he's a massage therapist. What the fuck? You need these physios and these medical specialities, and you need this doctor, and you need this program, and you need this. Just the expertise he could put into clubs, I think it would raise the whole level of the game.
That's a fair point.
Right. So at this stage, he's back for 1 year. And, you know, if nothing else, what it is going to achieve is it might assist the Storm in retaining the services of Cameron Munster.
Yeah, that's it.
And probably for a period of contract longer than Bellamy's committed to.
Yeah, okay. That's an escape. They may hang on to him, but does he then start signing 1 year deals or 2 year deals or...
So let's say Craig Bellamy leaves at the end of this one. Does Billy Slater get a sniff based on being the Origin coach? Are the Storm that silly?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, this is at the moment. I mean, I wouldn't even say whether it's silly or not. We don't know what he's like as a coach. He might be a fucking natural talent. I mean, players, you know, might respond to the threat to being, you know, fucking jump kicked in their face. At training, or you know, in the dressing room, or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Don't worry about setting your alarms, boys. I am sliding in studs up and waking you all up myself.
That's it. You know what I did on the weekend? I went and took opportunistic photos with 4 players that used to play for this team and now don't have jobs or homes anymore. Fucking hell! Yeah. Oh, well, all the best.
The other big news, of course. Was coaching news, of course, is Trent Barrett resigned. We've had some stories coming out now, you know, in the aftermath of that, such as Josh Jackson saying that he attempted to save Trent Barrett's job. He fronted the board to fight for the quote brilliant coach, and Jackson, who's obviously like a Bulldogs lifer, you know, he's it felt like more, but he's played 227 games for the Doggies. And he's taking responsibility for the departure, and on behalf of all the players, obviously saying that the players are responsible for performances on the field, and haven't been getting results, and that's why it's all there. But he knew the board were going to sit down on Monday to have a chat about the future and the results, and he asked if he could speak to them, and to let the board know that Trent had the support of all the players.
Did he though?
So yeah,
sore.gif.
Well.
If I'm the board, I just turn around and say, well, why hasn't that been out there? Where's this?
You say he's a brilliant coach, but where's the attacking structures?
That's it.
Because one thing, I think indirectly, I don't think he's saying that. I don't think he's trying to say that, but I think inadvertently that's what he is saying, because, you know, one thing you can say for Dogs this year is I think that they've definitely been a more committed side that's sort of hung in games
longer
than they should have with the but they haven't been able to score points, and I think that it's generally speaking, you know, there are obviously individual exceptions within that squad, but overall a very untalented side.
Yeah.
And that's what Jackson, he wouldn't think he's going in there saying that, but that's essentially what he's saying, that they are shit.
Yes,
that's and, cool. And
but also maybe a little bit threatening. You know, he's got the full support of the players. So, and then some of the movements that have obviously Naden fucking jumped ship within 24 hours.
It seems like some of the players didn't have the full support of the Gus.
No, I expect. Exactly.
Although with the Naden thing, it looks like there was just a positional thing. Like he wasn't going to play centre at the Dogs.
Mm.
So he's going, okay, I'll go somewhere where I can play centre. Because a part-time first grader elsewhere can walk into any position on the field. Like Jackson Hastings, lucky that he didn't want to play seven.
I'm just going to hang this call up because I've had enough of you already in this episode.
Well, Jacko did want to play seven, and that's what he got.
That's right.
And then the Dally M halfback of the year from 60 years ago or whatever had to get it was very there was a lot of ceremony around the fact that he was going to wear the six.
That's it.
So
how do we turn this around on the Tigers?
I hear that Brett Naden's relatives are less of a punish to have in the dressing room than Jackson Hastings.
Oof.
Yeah, I think that's that's unequivocally true. It's got to be. I mean, for all the talk about Jacko coming back from England, he's grown up and he's a different man now, and obviously that's translated to his performance on the field and the clear leadership qualities that we can see from on the field from Jacko. No one said anything about his old man fucking changing at all.
Slow news week after Magic Round. How good.
I just think that fucking everyone's had the terrible Tuesday, so.
I'll tell you what, this week in fucking bullshit joke journalism.
Paul Vaughan?
Yes.
Oh, how fucking good. I knew you'd go off.
Okay, so here we go again. We have the Fox News website publishing a story where they try to make it look like they've gotten an exclusive interview with a knowledgeable fucking footy brain, which is the Daily Telegraph's Paul Crawley, who is the fucking... It's the same business. Everyone that works for the Daily Telegraph also works for Fox News or Fox Sports. Fucking same, but different, but still same. And the entire fucking article, right? So after the announcement of Barrett quitting, rightly so, there was a whole bunch of media right outside training when the Dogs walked out, and Paul Vaughan's had a bit of a go. And essentially said, well, fucking really? Like, do you have to do this right now?
Yeah. You guys are clowns. You're the problem.
Yeah.
You're part of the problem.
He said you're the worst sorts of people. To which, one could respond, where is the lie?
Mm-hmm.
I assume that on the hierarchy of most things, there are, pedophiles, Nazis, Fox Sports journalists. So... And he had a good old crack at the media, and so Fox Sports has released an article disguised as news, essentially with a newspaper reporter, and I use that term lightly, talking about how he should have a look at himself. But if someone says you should have a look at yourself, generally what that is an accusation of some sort of hypocrisy.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
These fucks are so inept at using the English language and the common phrases therein that he goes, Paul Vaughan should have a good look at himself, and goes on to slag him for being paid lots of money at the Dragons and then for not being paid as much money at the Bulldogs. So he's saying, oh, he should have a good look at himself. He's not as good a player as he used to be. How the fuck does that work? That's not even what the phrase means. So much of this shit is just the Fox network circle jerking itself, using its own commentators as if they are independent, external sources of information. And it's at the stage now where it is fucking sad.
Yep.
End rant.
Agree with everything you said.
And you know what? Here's a fucking open invitation to any Fox Sports journalist or Daily Telegraph columnist to get on and defend their position. Come on another form of media. We will fucking welcome you onto this show.
No, we won't.
Yes, we will. 100%. We'll keep it civil. As long as they can answer the question, what sort of reporting do they actually provide? Apart from fucking bullshit opinion pieces.
Generating, yeah. And, yeah, and generating content from their talk shows.
Exactly. Like reporting on what happened of a fucking panel show in the newspaper. Please, fucking justify your existence. Absolute fucking flops.
Right. Games, round 11. Let's do it. Thursday night. We're back to a Thursday night game, and it's the Newcastle Knights versus the Brisbane Broncos at McDonald Jones Stadium. The Knights side. Frizzell returns, and Milford makes his debut in the halves, in the six. Hoy drops out of the 17, along with Suaso Su. Joining Jones, Gagai and Clifford in the reserves. And Thompson drops to the bench. The Broncos side, unchanged. Although Tamari Martin may have injury concerns. Nothing written down there about Adam Reynolds, who I believe was battling a groin injury through the week. This one seems fairly cut and dried, right, fellas?
For sure.
It does. Yep.
Interested Broncos to see gonna keep riding how Milford goes, to be honest. I'm interested in that.
Yeah, little, Milford revenge game.
That little line. But yeah, I still think the Broncos will be far too strong for the Knights.
You see, Bennett's trying to give himself a bigger fucking drop in legacy than Michael Jackson had. Saying he'll sign Milford to the Dolphins.
Oof.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's the deal that Milford has with the Knights? Is it just is it just this season, or did you sign a couple of years? I don't recall what it was.
No, it's just this season.
Right, yeah. So look, it's going to take time for him to you know, get up to where he needs to be in the halves.
Because fucking Tamari Martin came back after his brain fucking leaking out of his skull and played like he'd never left.
Yeah, actually, but he had been training. Yeah, he actually had been training though. When Milford hasn't been allowed to train until very recently, when the charges got cleared and he was able to register a contract and join the training group. So,
yeah.
And he likes to put weight on, Milford. But not only that, I meant more in terms of just, you know, the combinations. With Kloon, because Kloon looks like he looks to be the guy, you know, injuries aside, he looks to be the guy that is solidified in Knights halves there.
Yeah.
With Clifford after getting hooked in that game and then playing Reggie's the next week, and at the moment he's in the 21 in the extended squad. So with Phoenix Crossland in there in 14, it looks like Clifford's got a long battle ahead of him, unless Milford implodes spectacularly.
Yeah, okay.
But look, I think that Brocco's way too good, flying high at the moment, a lot of confidence, and I have no question that even if all that doesn't happen for them, Adam Reynolds still has the ability to kick the Knights to death.
Certainly does.
Next one. Oh, Glennie, what are you doing Friday afternoon / evening? Can we do a game cast for a fucking Hyper Bowl / Spoonapalooza with the West Tigers taking on the Bulldogs at the Lilyfield Rectangle, 6 PM pub slot game, and the West Tigers side, Luke Brooks is out with the hamstring. So Jockey Madden will partner Hastings in the halves.
Oh, this could Kapole end returns Brooks in the back great. Line.
Garner back to the second row, Tuolungi benched. Simkin is out with a concussion, and Little comes in at hooker.
Would you go Safer. Watch your kids' basketball game, or would you watch this? That's the question.
That's the question. And, of course, the magical name of Brent Naden appears in number 21, who I guess he's got his opportunity to push into the centres to, you know, potentially displacing Tyrone Peachy, who's named there at the moment.
Yes.
The doggy side. Okay, so Naden gone, transferred to the opposition. Corey Waddell out after Corey Waddell was, like, legitimately knocked the fuck out
in the Magic Round. Poor bastard.
And Avarillo returns at center, and Vitala Mariner, he was to return last week, missed that through illness. He's there in 23, could come back this week. So Mick Potter's going to have, what, 2-3 days with the boys?
Mick Potter revenge game.
He knows the Tigers. He knows the Tigers organization intimately. Despises them, probably rightly so, with the way he was treated. And it's his revenge game.
It is.
What's going to happen, Glenny? Talk us through. I mean, let's face it, this was a fairly evenly matched contest, at least in terms of the general running of the play. I feel the Tigers had the advantage in attack, but otherwise probably was destined to be a fairly evenly contested battle, but now the landscape's changed.
Look, I'm superstitious in regards to, as I said in the last episode, you know, if there's a player that's struggling for form and copping a beating in the media, it just so happens that the next game they play is against the Tigers and they kill it, and everyone's like, oh, look at them go. They've returned to form. If there's a team that's sacked their coach, miraculously, the next team that they play is the West Tigers, and the story is, and the narrative come Monday morning is, you know, never needed that coach anyway. Look at the great win they've had over the West Tigers. So it's happened far too many times to be a fluke. And having said that, there is actually no chance that the Bulldogs win this game. I feel like Jacko and Jocko in the halves, what could possibly go wrong? Tyrone Peachey in the centres, masterstroke, Madge. that was a laugh of someone that's seen Tyrone Peachey in the centres for his club. I think Stafford Toa is certainly trying hard at fullback, and he's doing an admirable job. Mate, get your foot in a touch before you catch the ball. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
Yeah, look, it was a split second, but you just got to make sure of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Kapara in centres. I don't know which of our centres concerns me more, if I'm honest. Both can make a horrible error and have a brain explosion in attack. So, look, if there's any other team other than Dogs, I'd be concerned. Tigers 13 plus. Put your house on it. More Jesus you put on, more you get back. Bet with your mates.
As long as Jackson Hastings there, I mean, you got 90% of the Tigers' output on the field, and I honestly think that will be enough. I mean, you know, do you really see? I mean, Fox, despite them saying what they said, do you see Paul Vaughan as the guy who's going to get the fucking 230 meters and 40 tackles? No. In revenge for the news article that came out and hatcheted him through the week.
Yeah.
Nope. I think he's just as likely to fucking disappear and do nothing. Yeah. There's the attack in the Bulldog side. I mean, the Tigers, and I say this, you know, knowing that it's going to blow up in my face. Generally speaking, though, for large portions of games, the Tigers' defense is not too bad. And I think that the attack that the Bulldogs are generating this season is insufficient to trouble them.
Yeah.
They're probably going to concede a try or two through something like, like something Burton to Addo Carr.
Yeah.
Probably. That's probably good for a try or two a game.
Yeah.
Against the Tigers, let's say it's good for 2 tries.
Yeah.
Other than that, I just don't know where the points are going to come from for the Bulldogs. And if Trent was as popular with the playing group as Josh Jackson would have us believe, then it's not really a rebound game, you know, when players rebound because they've finally got rid of the fucking Wicked Witch and, you know, they're happy and enjoying their footy again. Yeah, it could go the other way. So
correct. This is the first time we've played the Bulldogs since getting done 38-0 in the final round of last year. If we cannot get up to win this fucking game to rid some of the fucking pain and anguish of watching that shit, driving 3 hours to watch that on Father's Day, and we need to hang it up.
Ouch.
So there we go, Glenny. So are you saying you have kids basketball during the running of this game?
His game's at 7, so.
Damn, that's right when the second half's going to be. About the time the second half kicks off, so unfortunately we can't get the episode going.
His games are all videoed, so.
How good's that? How good is that?
Do you have that? That's everywhere, right?
So, I don't know, but.
You have it.
It's in your home court and my home court. So yep, maybe not everywhere, but yeah.
Fucking. And the stats, and like when your kid scores, you can fucking go through. Oh, love it.
It's fucking
absolutely
great.
Love it.
Yeah.
Hit a couple of big threes last week and fucking, you know, he's probably watched them back about 600 times. Good on the kid. but he might do it on his own this week. I might sit at home and watch Tigers. Probably not. I'd much rather watch my kid compete, to be honest.
If you are actually going to sit at home and watch the Tigers, then we will be on a call doing a game companion for the second half. Right?
No, I've got to.
So you've got a couple of days to decide.
I'll be watching the big dog. There's my decision.
Yeah. Jacko Hastings.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say
that. the late game, Parramatta Eels take on the mighty Manly Sea Eagles. Nucore returns via the bench for the Eels, pushing Cartwright to the reserves. Madison starts lock, Brown benched. Manly side, Burbo out with a shoulder concern. It looked like he was gone before halftime, actually, in that game. Schuster returns on the bench. What's that?
Can't handle the Riggers. I think he's first grade.
Oh yeah, he doesn't look like he's bulk. You know, like bulked up enough.
Mm.
But you know that comes to all of them eventually, I guess. Schuster returns via the bench. Bullimore is been knocked out of the 17, and Davey moves into the starting side. Big bounce back game coming from the Manly side. They tend to always go fairly well against the Eels, and fuck me, they need to this week. The Eels, they're easier to get a handle on than some sides in the competition, but it's crazy that they can go from getting destroyed by the Cowboys in Darwin, beating Penrith, and looking fucking amazing, and then this patchy performance that they had last the weekend is gone as well. Consistency is a problem for them. I mean, by the pattern, this should be a good week for them, but it's hard to say.
I guess it depends how hard Manly bounce back from their performance last week against Brisbane. So, I will say, if you look across the Manly side, and I'm not saying this to be to start an argument, but there's more plotters in this Manly side than I can remember any Manly side having for fucking many years.
You've got to be shitting me. We had Morgan Boyle and Corey Waddell as recently as fucking two seasons ago.
Dylan Walker.
And there's none of those.
Andrew Davey, Sean Kepi.
Yeah.
Dylan Walker if there was using the NBA analogy, like Dylan Walker would be the sixth man of the fucking year. Interchange of the year, fucking tremendous.
I guess if fucking intercepts are fucking a stat that fucking wins you awards these days, I don't know. But
look, I mean, that's recency bias on your part because you don't watch footy.
Don't watch footy. I don't rate Dylan Walker. That's what I fucking don't do.
The issue is going to be their forwards in their hand. Like that's been Manly's, fucking hamstring. I was going to say Achilles heel, but it's hamstrings that tend to fuck Manly all season, and it was that thing last year. Oh, well, if Manly can only get their handling under control, if they can only do this, if they can only do that, well, fucking guess what? It's not under control.
I know how we'll do that. We'll put Morgan Harper in the side again.
The big issue is fucking Kepi. I mean, he's got this, he's got this level of sort of like Mark Carroll sort of hardness to the way he plays the game, but he also has this level of fucking Jason Hetherington fucking mental retardation to his game as well. And there are players that that have that fucking streak and yet they harness it and become fucking amazing because they harness all the aggressive side and the stupid shit gets sort of coached out of them. And he's on the precipice with me at the moment where it's like, maybe it can't be fucking going. Maybe he's one of the guys that you can't fucking get it out of.
He's too far gone. Know?
Like, I don't think he's too far gone, but like at some point you've got to say, like, this guy, is he like a Jared Rurrie Hargraves kind of guy where the aggression gets tempered eventually and goes on to have a great career? Or is he like a Liam Knight sort of character where he's just a dumb cunt for his... or Paul Vaughan, where he's just a dumb cunt for his whole life. So he's on the precipice there, and I'd like to see him fucking make a decision and the right decision quickly.
Yeah. I think your issue is your forward pack all around.
Well, I mean, you know, we do have some injuries in the forwards that we're trying to cover at the moment, but I really wish we could get some fucking troops back and fit troops back at that. I don't think Bullenmore's been given a massive chance that he should have been given. I don't think he's played poorly or anything, but he seems to be certainly scapegoated from last week anyway. And like Marty Tapau, we know that cunt's just fucking... He's rolling his wheelchair into fucking... Yeah, into... The thing is, he doesn't have a contract with us for next year, so you would think logically, I don't think he's going to retire. I don't think he has any plans to retire. So you would go, okay, so this guy's in what we would call the contract year.
Yeah.
Where he should be playing out of his... He should be playing so well that I'm complaining and saying things every week like, oh man, I wish he wasn't leaving next year. I wish he hadn't signed with such and such, or I wish he wasn't going next year because the guy's got so much more to offer. At the moment, I'm like, fucking, what do you got? Paul Vaughan, fucking, let's do a player swap right now.
That's it.
I'd swap him for almost anybody, which is terrible.
I'm sorry. As much as I would love to see Parramatta get fucking rolled, I can't pick against him in this one.
No, we smashed him twice last year and we'll do it again. Trust. The Dragons take on the Warriors down Netstrata Jubilee Stadium. Okay, Dragons side, as we spoke about last episode, Cody Ramsey comes in at fullback. Sloan out of the 17. Jetski is named to start in the second row with Josh Maguire out. And Michael Molo is named for his debut in number 17 on the interchange.
Oof.
So
Frank's made some threats.
It's gone from murderous Frank to the fucking murderous Frank to the gruesome twosome, and unlucky Warriors. You think you've been slaughtered this season? Just wait, shit's gotten real. The Warriors side, Harris returns to the starting side after being benched last week. Aitken's back in the second row. Murchie shifts to lock. Penne to bench, and Katoa out of the 17.
No love from the Boogies for the Warriors. The Dragons are fucking $1.60 favourites.
Look, they played pretty well last week.
They didn't.
Yeah, they really didn't.
They played pretty well last week.
They played a game of football last week.
I'm tipping the Warriors for an upset here because they've got points in them. And St George are not a defensive powerhouse.
No, but the Warriors aren't a defensive anything.
They're not.
They don't actually play defense. They literally leave the field and drink Gatorade while the other team has the ball.
I'm going the Warriors for an upset.
For me, I feel like the Warriors are kind of... I think they're holding their emotion and their ability to dig in and play out a game properly. I think they're holding it back for a couple of weeks until when they get back over to New Zealand. I think they've got their eye ahead on the Mount Smart game.
Yep.
Given what I said before, the Warriors back to Mount Smart, first game in two seasons there.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who they're playing?
West Tigers.
Yep.
Yeah.
West Tigers.
Fantastic.
Amazing. Amazing.
Love it.
The theory checks out, Glennie.
You know Nate and I do the scheduling, yeah? We're employed by the NRL.
Why wouldn't you be?
People complain about the draw all the time. We'll fucking, run at us.
Why do you think Penrith even... plays Melbourne once?
Why do you think Melbourne plays at home every week? It's Nate's idea.
Yeah, all that part was Jay's.
Yeah.
We do eight teams each. He was doing the Melbourne one so he could do the Melbourne one so Penrith could keep ducking him all season.
Yeah. I'm with you, Jay. I think the Warriors win this one. And actually comfortably too.
Ben Hunt masterclass.
Wow.
Yeah, I fucking said it.
I think the Warriors win because fuck the Dragons and fuck their fans.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, yeah.
All of them. Feel that way. Because they're all cunts.
I'm not inclined to disagree with you. I'm just looking at it from straight footy, though. The North Queensland Cowboys take on the Melbourne Storm up there at the Abattoir. I'll tell you what, they're playing up there every week, too. There was obviously the meeting of two teams that played home every week, and the Cowboys, they won this one. Look, it's a big test for the Cowboys. There's no changes to their lineup as of yet. The Melbourne Storm have Hughes returning at half, so which pushes Cooper Johns back to where he belongs, out of the 17. Big Nelson, he's out, though, and Brandon Smith has been named at prop, starting prop at that, and Alec McDonald joins the bench. Chris Lewis out of the 17, and he's replaced by Big Dino. So, the Storm. This is one of these games where I think the Cowboys are looking to big test to prove themselves, prove the legitimacy of their resurgent form this season. The Storm are there to be taken because, I mean, whilst they do have Jerome Hughes back, they're still short a number of good players, a number of great fucking players.
Agreed. I think this will be a great game, and I think it's probably a good
test
for the
Cowboys. There's
going to
be a bounce back. Yeah. Well, it's going to be a bounce back factor for the Storm. They will not play that badly.
I think it's a bounce back for the Cowboys. They were humbled last week against the Tigers. I think the Tigers, probably showed them, gave them a lesson in resilience. And I think they'll take that into this game against the Storm. And I'm going to tip the Cowboys in an upset.
I'm not sure the Cowboys are Storm level yet. I think this will be a great test, and I think they'll go into this game with no doubt that they can win and they'll play like that, but there's probably just a few little areas that the Storm are that they have been good at for longer that'll get them home here. So
the Cowboys have had defense as a trademark of their wins this season, and I just think the Storm side, as listed per the program for this week, is a different proposition to one that's got Big Nelson trampling through the middle and, Pappy running amok, getting touches from any part of the field. The Storm, should have a little bit more direction and structure with the re-addition of Jerome Hughes to the side, but I still think their attacking potency is far below what it has been. So... and with a team that's, prides themselves on defence like the Cowboys, I mean, it makes their task easier.
Yep.
And it's just a matter of what the Storm can do to stem the flow of points from the Cowboys side. There you
go. Nice. So who are you tipping, mate?
Fuck, man. Like, honestly, I favour the Storm, but I don't know if it's just, biased towards, the historically better side over the past however many fucking years. But, I think the Cowboys, this is the best chance they're going to get against the Storm, I think, at home.
Yeah, it is.
Against a legitimately weakened opponent. I mean, it certainly does even the playing field somewhat. But look, I'm just going to go Storm by a field goal. How about that?
Ooh. There you go.
The Storm by via a Brandon Smith burrow over under the sticks. Oof. When it matters most. There you go. The Roosters take on the Panthers at the SCG. The Roosters side have lost Victor Radley, with Butcher replacing him at lock. Collins returns via the bench. And Watson named hooker, Hutchinson interchange. Panthers side unchanged.
And why would it be? Why would it change? The Roosters certainly went up a peg from where they'd been. They were a much more complete team. They executed much better. There were fewer errors. But Parramatta didn't give them a lot of resistance, you know. And as we spoke about, two of their tries were directly from Gutho fuck-ups. And they're playing against the New South Wales fullback apparent in Dylan Edwards. Statistical leader in all the categories that matter for fullbacks this season, and most of the categories that matter for forwards. So, you know, it's the numbers are coming up more and more everywhere you look for Dylan Edwards. So,
and yet the chances of Dylan Edwards playing in State of Origin side are equal to what they've ever been.
I suspect one game at State of Origin level for Dylan Edwards will put paid to ever hearing anything about Dylan Edwards playing Origin more and more.
You are not allowed to say anything about fullbacks playing State of Origin after your club gave us the fucking limp dick rag doll that got Gordon Tallis over the sideline. Okay?
That literally made Gordon Tallis' career, his only career highlight.
You know? You have the same right to comment in this discussion about State of Origin fullbacks as Wayne Bennett does about fucking genetic strength.
Panthers going to win this easily.
Extremely hurtful.
30 plus.
30 plus. I was going to say that. The Roosters are a different proposition.
They're a different proposition without Radley, and they don't have a hooker until next year.
Moses Leo,
I don't see the Panthers having any problem.
Luke Keary, as will James Fisher-Harris.
The Rabbits take on the Raiders in Dubbo. Jacob Hoste is out. People starts in the back row in his second appearance in the NRL. The Raiders side, Whiten returns, which pushes Schneider out of the 17. Frawley remains in the halves at 7. Wolford retained at hooker with Adam Elliott in the reserves. Honestly, it is fucking rough on Brad Schneider to get removed from the 17 entirely after his fucking heroics last week. And honestly, the Raiders' form this year has not been as good as it has been in the last couple of weeks when Jack Whiten wasn't fucking there.
This is the thing. Yep. It's been joked about in the Facebook group a bunch. I've seen it bandied about on Twitter. You know, no Whiten equals success.
You're hearing it more and more.
Yeah. You know, is that going to be our next T-shirt this week in league? Hearing it more and more.
Love it.
Is that our YKTR? It's YHMM. for a team that has proven to be so susceptible to being in their own heads, fuck, if he comes back and they lose in the second half again, they're in all sorts. They are in fucking all sorts.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, is it just me, or would it not be the worst move ever to, you know, keep Schneider in there and then maybe, you know, put Whiten in at centre instead of Sebastian Chris or something? Get him in the field outside of the organisation side of things. Let him utilise his running game and not ever, ever fucking kick it dead.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Although we'd still probably put in short kicks from centre and like boot them all into the fourth row.
Not short enough.
Like he's the only man in the world that'd kick a field goal when he's trying to do a grubber.
Interesting to see the progression from Zach Wolford as well.
Yeah. No, I still think the Raiders should win this one and win it comfortably.
Wow.
I'm comfortably against the Rabbits. Yeah, I think Souths are going to win too, to be honest. And I don't know about comfortably, but I think Souths have got him.
How long's Cam Murray out for? That's the biggest story for
enough
Souths.
Enough to rule him out of Origin. So he's out for a decent amount of time. Yeah. I'm not sure what the exact figure is, but I know that he won't be in Origin. Okay, so the Titans take on the Sharks at Hope Solo Coliseum. Unchanged lineup for the Gold Coast Titans. And the Sharky side. Okay, so Nicho Hynes returns the half with a quickness. And former Rugby Sevens Olympian Lockie Miller is named at fullback. Trindle drops to the bench. Finucane is out. And Hunt comes in at prop. Graham starts with Wilton benched. And Fifita joins the interchange in 17.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that we didn't talk about for the Sharkies game last week as well, is how fucking far that the game of rugby league has passed Wade Graham by.
Is it the game of rugby league?
Absolutely. Oh,
I think he's... Yeah.
Well, just far the time, really. But
short of like a run.
Very fucking short of a run. I don't think you'd be able to catch up to a run. Like, the more I think, when you see players that, like, hang on too long or, you know, retire too soon and all that sort of thing, I think
Wade... He's had two games back.
I fucking love the guy, but I think he was part of the problem with the Sharks last week. Shit came to him and died in that game. And, yeah, I don't know if we're ever going to see him back to a point where, you know, he earns his spot in that side on more than name value.
That's a big call.
I said it. That's it. Just to be clear, Wade Graham is finished and will never play well again.
Whoa.
Is what I'm saying. My theory extends to any regional groups from 1 through 20.
Oh, fuck.
Park football. Social touch.
Jesus.
Anything. That's it. He's done.
There you go.
Now. Cursed.
It's over. I'm sorry, Wade. I love you, mate, but it's over. I hate for you to hear it on a podcast, but it's
from a complete stranger. But I'm here to tell you. Your career just ended.
Yep. It's done.
That's us.
Do you boys know anything about this young man, Lachie Miller? I don't.
No.
No, if he's a rugby union player, I can assure you I know nothing about him.
Yeah, so. And then rugby sevens, which is like such an unrelated minor form of the code.
He's an Olympian.
Yeah.
So you would hope growing up as an Olympian. Now, I would all the respect.
He grew up as a rugby player.
Yeah, but again, as an Olympian, he doesn't get the fanfare and the other bullshit that a rugby union player would get, or a rugby league player for that matter. So let's hope here that that's given him some humility and an actual, oh, fuck, you need to work hard in your sport. Maybe. I don't know. Just hypothesizing. Hope he has a good match.
Yeah. And look, let's face it, I mean, if you can take a high ball.
So, yeah, and, white private school kid, perfect for the Sharks.
Exactly. I mean, they probably got him from fucking, he was probably scouted personally for him by ScoMo.
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
I hear he is a member of the Young Libs.
The Sharks are going to bounce back, though, this week.
You reckon?
They were fucking... I don't think that their loss was embarrassing
as
the loss
that
the Warriors had against them. The Libs. I think. Oh, well, so you're saying that like as the Sharks go, then so the Libs will go on the weekend? Is that what you're saying?
Look, you know, correlation is not causality, but
Sharks
burning
plus.
Is that your
I think Sharks are going to win
election,
easily.
Sorry?
Is that your prediction for the election? ScoMo 13 plus.
Yep. I hope so.
Oh, Glennie.
We've made you say some stuff at the start of shows, you know, this year and last year, but that's the worst thing you've said on this show in fucking 5-6 years.
No, it's the greatest thing because he's got no idea what he's just done. Fuck you. Do you know how many bullshit fucking Simpsons memes I'm going to have to look at now? Fuck you, Glenn.
Yeah.
Don't care. Don't look at him, mate. Don't look at him.
You did this to
just
us.
Just fucking scroll on, scroll on through.
God damn it. Anyway.
Anyway, that's it for the games.
Nice.
As always, if you want to support the show, patreon.com/twillnation. Get amongst it. Much more stuff to come, merch to come. I had another idea for a shirt that I'll table with you guys later on.
We just fucking gave you an idea for a shirt, cunt.
Yeah, yeah, and another one. Like I'm saying,
I've had a great idea for a shirt, guys. What do you think of? You're hearing it more and more as a shirt. What do you think?
Yeah, no, not that. Look, as the person that comes up with the fucking every idea for everything, Glenny, I'll let you have that little one, but I've got another one additional to that because that's what I am. I'm a fucking creativity fucking fountain.
Every idea for everything. First ever This Week in League shirt was fucking my design, my idea. From start to finish.
Hang on a minute. Shut the fuck up. Your design, are you saying?
And fucking who did the fucking Trust Us shirt?
Talk a lot of shit for someone that's done fuck all.
Yeah, your design, mate. Is that right?
Yes. I said what I said.
Yeah, motherfucker.
He's the Jackson Hastings. We'll see. He makes you better. He put you in a six and reimagined you.
Yeah. He's fucking Luke Brooks of this organisation. Get to making our shirt, cunt.
Yeah, you're the fucking Jackson Hastings of this organisation. You're fucking touching yourself 120 times a game and not doing fucking shit out of it. Producing not one fucking drop.
Oh, how good. Cracking the episode this week. The topic is listeners' biggest fears. So it's going to get raw.
Yep.
It's going to get emotional. We're going to make fun of Glenn for being afraid of clowns.
Oh, fuck. You make fun of me for all of them.
Fucking Patreon dot something. Better than OnlyFans.
We're not doing that tonight, though, are we?
No, we're not. That's my biggest fear.
No, we're not doing it tonight. And so, yeah, my biggest fear is recording podcasts after 11 p.m. On a school night. But further to that, I'm not entirely happy with the number of responses we've got yet for that memisode too. So consider this an official call out for more of our patrons to get their shit together.
It's not weak
and hit
speak.
Us up via the normal.
It's not exactly. Weak to speak, members. And you know what? Let's broaden it. It doesn't have to be your biggest fear. It could be a friend of yours' biggest fear. That you've seen.
The biggest
or
fear
know
you've
about.
Ever seen demonstrated by someone in your orbit.
Which
or
is
yourself.
Ironic, because you're too much of a coward to say it's your fear.
Yeah. So let me just say that it is understood and it is implied that your biggest fear is responding to a call out for questions on a podcast members episode.
See how well we treat our fucking Patreons? Join up.
Pay money exactly. To get this experience for yourself.
That's it, fellas. Talk to you fuckers next week.
Love it.
Fuck you, Nathan. See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.